Hey there, everybody. Welcome to a special interlude, we'll call it, of the Android Central podcast. I'm Phil Nickinson. I'm here with Andrew Martinick.
Hello. How's it going? I like that idea of an interlude. Sounds very fancy and official.
Yeah, it's a little more intimate than interim, I guess. Anyway, the reason we are here, the reason we are coming at you is Andrew and I got a sneak peek of the brand new Galaxy S7, which by the time you're listening to this has just been announced in Spain. So we wanted to record some of our initial thoughts of what we saw. We will have lots more on the GS7 from us as we get an even better look at it. And to be perfectly honest, there's some, you know, specs we don't even know yet because they haven't told us at the time that we're recording this. So we will do more from Spain with the entire group. We generally do a big group podcast live from the road like that. So look for that later this week. But right now, Andrew and I just wanted to kind of jot down our initial thoughts, if you will, about what we saw so we can include them in the initial wave of coverage that's going up. So, Andrew, give me the basics. What did we just get from Samsung?
Oh, wow. So the new thing for Samsung is two phones at once. So each of their release cycles now, it seems that they want to go with two phones. So just like last year, we got the Galaxy S6 and S6 Edge, and then the Note 5 and S6 Edge Plus. We're doing a Galaxy S7 and a Galaxy S7 Edge. The little difference here is that the Edge is actually larger, so there's more to the differences here other than just the curved edge. But so we're going with a 5.1 inch screen on the standard Galaxy S7, the mainstream Galaxy S7, and then you're going up to 5.5 inches for the Edge. But then you get the curved screen, and we'll get a little more into the features there. But really, the nice thing that we saw from the start was these are really evolutions of the Galaxy S6 that was such a huge design departure from the Galaxy S5. And I think that's the biggest thing that stood out to me immediately.
Do you think you could almost look at this as like a GS6? I don't know. I mean, hate to like call it the Apple version of it, but you know what I mean? Like the off-year iterative design. I mean, that's kind of the feeling I got. And even go back to like the GS4 and the GS5, I think it was kind of the same way.
Yeah, I think a lot of people felt that way with the GS3, 4, and 5, where things didn't change a ton. I mean, the big thing for me was that I'm not too upset about it being a small iterative update design-wise, because I was really happy with the design on the Galaxy S6. Really, the only issues that we had with it were things like battery life, a lack of a couple of features. You know, some people wanted removable storage and battery and things like that. But the overall experience of the GS6 was so good that we were obviously really happy with the Note 5 with the increased battery. So I'm really glad that Samsung didn't go all out feeling like it needed to, you know, nuke and start over.
Yeah, I mean, so for context, the GS6, both versions of the GS6, the original GS6, were 5.1 inch displays. And so that's still the smaller version now, right? I'll call it the GS7 Prime. Prime.
Whatever you want to call it. And I'm glad they did the same there as well. So, you know, that keeps it. I think the general feel talking to Samsung about it was that the GS7 is like this mainstream phone that, you know, you could always rely on. If you're not sure about the bigger phone, you're not sure about the curved edges or, you know, anything like that, you can always go with the general Galaxy S7. It's got a flat screen, 5.1 inches, still equally as powerful. They have all the same internal features aside from a bump in battery for the larger screen, obviously. And it's kind of the same story that we were talking about with the S6 Edge Plus and the Note 5 just 6 months ago, where, you know, you get this big phone, 95% the same, but, you know, choose the extra couple of features that you want. And in the Galaxy S7 case, that's just a smaller, easier to hold phone.
So let's talk about the battery for a second, because it's a big deal on either one of them. You know, the chief complaint about the original GS6, the 5.1 inch size, was that the battery just was pretty unacceptable. And I had that as well. And that's me sitting in an office on Wi-Fi all day, and I still had to charge it before I left for home, which was just,
yeah.
That, I mean, for me, that was unusable. So, I mean, it's only a 17% increase, really, from the GS6 to the GS7. From, you know, about 2,500 to about 3,000 milliamp hour batteries. But the Edge goes up to 3,600, right? Which is just
Which
insane.
Is huge.
Yeah.
And Yes, I agree that the GS6 battery is unacceptable. But the interesting thing is that nobody really talked about the battery life being bad on the Note 5 because it isn't bad. It's a full day device, even if you hit it hard. And that phone also has a 3000 milliamp hour battery. So we're getting the same size battery as the Note 5, which used to require a 5.7 inch screen. It did 6 months ago. And now they're putting that same size cell into the 5.1 inch Galaxy S7. And of course, the screen's going to use a little less power because it's smaller. And we also don't know, like Phil was saying, we're a little short on specs. So, you know, we don't know what kind of processor efficiencies that they worked in. We know that the screens, usually when Samsung bumps up to the new screen technology, the screens get more efficient. So I think that we're in store for better battery life here, which is a huge improvement. Everybody was asking for more battery in the GS6. And of course it's not removable this time again. We can talk about the design a little bit more, but just the boost in the size is going to be enough to get a lot of people to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, so let's talk about the design. I mean, the GS7, both of them are really, I really don't like saying iterative because I think that sells them short. Still beautifully designed phones, very much in the same family as last year, though, as the GS6. And I like that. I like that design. I think they did a very nice job with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with the family comparison, whatever you will. They brought over the idea from the Note 5 that everybody pretty universally liked, I think, is the curved glass on the back as well.
Yep.
So it's still flat across the majority of the back, but it curves off on the edges into the metal. It just makes it a lot easier to wrap your fingers around. Not so slippery. Like the Galaxy S6, if you ever used one, is a little tough because it's perfectly flat on both sides, and the metal didn't offer a ton of grip. So the only thing really saving you from having it fly out of your hand is that it was relatively small. Yeah. And now with that extra curve, it just makes it a bit easier. And it's still, I think it's still a beautiful design. And Samsung have obviously executed really well, has the same kind of metal band to wrap around the sides, glass on both sides. They have very nice looking color options with a black and a gold option for the GS7. And then black, gold, and silver for the GS7 Edge.
Which one do you like? The black is a little too murdered out for me, I think.
Yeah, I think I like the silver, whatever, platinum color for the GS7 Edge, but I'm so drawn to the GS7, the smaller one that doesn't have that platinum color, that I think I would go with the black personally. I mean, the current crop Note 5 and GS6 have this really deep blue that's very close to black anyway, that I think I'd be okay with the black personally.
Yeah, the silver is very nice. So let's talk about the Edge for a second. It's a little weird because it is bigger to me, and I didn't use the GS6 Edge Plus, the larger of those models. Are they pretty similar in size at that point?
It's actually the biggest difference when I held them side by side and, you know, stacked them around on top of each other was that the Galaxy S7 Edge was a lot narrower. But considerably narrower. You know, when you think about just the difference between 5.7 and 5.5 inches, it's not that huge, but you're talking diagonally. And so that makes a big difference in width, which is, of course, what makes it so hard to reach across with your thumb. Obviously, any decrease in size is going to help there. I still feel like it's a little bit on the big side. I'm glad that it's smaller. I am just slightly confused by the move to have this middle ground now with the Note 5 and S6 Edge Plus are very much still in the market, full price, fully marketed devices. This one's just 0.2 inches smaller on the screen, and then the GS7, which shares its name, is another 0.4 inches under that.
I told Samsung, I said, my Note 5 is going to get real lonely real quick, I think. Yeah, even yeah. If, you know, with either one of these phones, I think I would switch from the Note 5. Let's talk about the inclusion of micro SD storage again. Now, it was a lot of backlash after the GS6 and the Note 5, where Samsung got rid of it. It's now back. What was the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, it's very interesting because, you know, I think us at Android Central, for the most part, didn't really, you know, find it to be that big of an issue. The fact that you know, before taking it out with the GS6, you know, offering 64 and 128 gig storage options. It just didn't seem like that was that big of a deal, but apparently the outcry was big enough that they thought that they could bring it back in. It really doesn't seem like they're going to budge on the removable battery point, which seemed to be, you know, kind of lumped together with the SD card. But now you're back to an SD card slot that's just, you know, it's nested in there right next to the SIM card. And I suppose that that's just something that they just couldn't get, you know, the fans to turn around on.
Sure. I have a 64 gigabyte Note 5 and I'm only halfway through it. So I get the argument, and certainly they have numbers to back it up. Now, one thing that was missing in that respect, though, remember, this is running Android 6.0 Marshmallow. And one of the features in Marshmallow is called adaptable storage. So instead of an SD card being formatted like it normally is, so you can pop it out of a phone and into a computer and it'll just read things, adaptable storage reformats the SD card and lets the system use it just like it was a part of the phone itself with that same sort of permissioning and same structure. But that's not the case with the GS7. Now, this isn't the only phone we've seen go that route.
Yeah, I think that everybody kind of assumed that every phone maker would start doing this by default or giving you the choice after the HTC One A9 came out and just had adaptable storage baked in. I think that Samsung is making a really smart move here. As much as people are annoyed by the lack of an SD card, they're going to be extra annoyed by not really understanding what adaptable storage would do to their SD card.
Right, you can't just pop it out and stick it into a computer.
No, and the process of adding a card as an adaptable storage erases the card and starts fresh, and then that card cannot be physically removed from the phone without lots of ramifications. And the way that Samsung sees it, after, of course, years and years of having SD cards in their phones, they see it as a lot of people still have a micro SD card that they want to pop out and put in their computer to transfer files or, you know, put files on, you know, on the card via the computer, you know, movies or whatever, and put them in. So they're not even including this option. And I think that that's the right move. What do you think about that?
Yeah. And Samsung also has another reason for that, which we'll get into in a second. But yeah, I think the hardcore people who absolutely have to have adaptable storage will know how to get it and what phones to get. And it's just, I think it's a really cool feature. I don't think phones are the right way to do it. And if you read into Google's compatibility documents and stuff, I think you'd get that too.
And the most interesting thing about it, if I play devil's advocate against myself for just a second, is that Samsung has said that in the US, at least, you're not going to have any other storage option than 32 gigs on these phones. So for someone who does want all that storage and would benefit from having this contiguous block like adaptable storage would offer, it's just not an option. So 32 gigs is all you're going to get, which of course for most people is going to be enough. But for those people that want a lot more than that, a regular SD card might not even, you know, might not work. They, you know, they want that full continuous storage rather than, you know, just having some media files on a card.
I wouldn't put any money on it, but it'll be interesting to see if that affects the price at all. Just having the one SKU, will it be a little cheaper? Because, I mean, the GS6 was not cheap. And that's one of those pieces of information we don't yet have. So we'll just have to see about that. Let's talk camera, because camera is another huge deal for Samsung devices. And they've always been have been really good. The GS6, it was probably, I don't think any of us would have a hard time saying that it is, if not the best camera of the past year or so, certainly in the top one, two, or three.
I mean, I think that the Galaxy S5 was pretty much the only big misstep in, you know, for its year. With all the Galaxy S devices in terms of camera, where every other one has had a really solid shooter.
So this time around, we have a 12 megapixel camera.
Drop down from 16, which is
interesting.
The trade-off here, of course, was they went with larger pixels, which is, you know, somewhere, you know, in HTC headquarters, somebody's, you know, weeping quietly because we're all going back to this idea of, you know, smaller megapixel count, larger pixels.
Larger pixel size on the sensor itself, which lets you get more light onto the sensor. Right. And
which is the big thing that, you know, Google just talked about with the Nexus 6P and 5X. So they're going up to 1.4 micron pixels, which doesn't mean anything unless you know that the previously they were 1.12 microns. So that's a pretty solid jump. And it means that with the same sensor size, you know, it's a smaller megapixels because they're, you know, fewer pixels, but each one's larger. And they're also doing a lot faster lens. So it's a f over 1.7 instead of 1.9. We all know how well that f over 1.9 lens helps, you know, take in a ton of light, even in the GS6 and Note 5. It pretty much bested every other camera out there. In low light situations.
One of the things you'll hear Samsung talk a lot about this camera is how fast it focuses. We saw some pretty basic demos, you know, very stage tests. So that we saw what they wanted to show us. We'll have to wait till we get it out in the wild and see. But it certainly appeared like it it focused very, very quickly.
And it's very interesting because everybody else, well, for the most part, people are going, companies are going with laser, you know, IR autofocus, where, you know, it shoots out an infrared laser so it can bounce off of something even in low light. They're doing phase detect autofocus, which is something that's far more common in DSLR cameras. They did it in the GS6. I thought the GS6 was very quick to focus, especially in video and everything like that. But they're talking about even faster focusing now because they're using every single pixel for phase detection autofocus rather than about 3/4 of the pixels in the previous model.
And this is now a dual sensor camera, the first time that's ever been done in a smartphone, Samsung.
So it's it's again bringing down some of that technology that Samsung knows from making really high-end DSLRs and mirrorless cameras. So they know what they're talking about, they know what they're doing, which, you know, has really been brought out in the GS6, but here they're really doubling down on, you know, hey, we're going to be the best possible camera out there. And I mean, unless they make some kind of crazy misstep, if they just improve a little bit on the GS6, they're going to be able to stay on top.
We'll get way more into the software later, but it is running Marshmallow. It's still, you know, very TouchWizzy Marshmallow. If you like Samsung's UI, you'll be right at home. If you don't, well, then you don't.
Yeah, I mean, it looks very similar to the beta test of Marshmallow that they're doing on the GS6 already. You know, they're not doing any kind of crazy stuff. I feel like it's a little more muted in colors, a lot more gray, white, black, mm-hmm. rather than the green and blue.
Yeah, I don't dislike it. I think it looks pretty decent.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's expecting it to just go clean slate here. I mean, they're going to keep their similar design language. They're not going to pull the rug out from under people who are familiar with it.
Water resistance, it is IP68 rated for dust and water. You know, you're not going to want to take it swimming, but you're also not going to kill it if it gets, you know, sprayed a little bit, or even, you know, if you maybe drop it in for a few seconds.
And unlike the GS5, it doesn't require a flap,
right,
over anything, or, you know, because the battery can't be removed, it doesn't have to have gaskets or anything like that, which I think it's huge. I'd like to know how much they're going to really market it. If it's going to be marketed as much as like Sony has always marketed its waterproof phones, where it shows people, you know, swimming with them or something. Or is it going to be more of an accidental, you know,
that's how
a commercial shows someone having a beer spilled on their phone.
Exactly. Again, micro USB instead of USB-C, that we've talked a lot about that leading up to the announcement of this phone. I'm not surprised at all, especially because that lets them in the overall size and shape of this phone. They designed to work with the Gear VR headset that they currently sell. So if you have a Gear VR with a Note 5 or a GS6, you don't have to go out and buy a new one. That makes perfect sense to me. That's not surprising at all.
Yeah, I just think in general, Gear VR aside, it's going to make sense that they just stick with micro USB. Again, with the huge it's just a similar talking point as the software. With such a huge install base, all these chargers they have out there, all the accessories, people aren't going to want to move that quickly. And so, you know, as they move everyone over, you know, to these newer devices, they're eventually going to have to cut it off at some point. But I think that they were slightly burned by trying out this micro USB 3.0 thing randomly on the GS5 and realizing that was kind of annoying to have all these different phones on different connectors.
Yeah.
And when you look at the GS7, is a very similar phone to the GS6 and the Note 5, and they should all have the same charging port, right?
The display is beautiful. It is also now always on, sort of. When the phone is in standby, you know, before you hit the power button, you will have a few options actually for information flashing up on the screen.
Yeah, and it's kind of, when I thought about it, it's kind of surprising they haven't done this before, because they've been on AMOLED displays for so long, which are obviously really great for this, but it doesn't, you know, pulse or breathe like the Moto phones and the new Nexuses do, and OnePlus does. It's more of a static dashboard,
right,
for want of another word. It's got it like a, you could put a clock or a wallpaper and it'll show you icons for your notifications. It's not going to be an extension of the lock screen like other phones do it, but it just gives you that extra little bit of information where your phone is, if it's sitting on a table, it's always going to have the time displayed, and you're not going to have to worry about burn-in or anything. They'll shift the pixels around so that it won't burn in, and the power savings is going to be huge when you consider that you don't have to turn on the whole screen if you just want to check a notification or the time.
There's also some interesting gaming support on this one. If you know what the Vulkan APIs are, think just new APIs for some serious mobile gaming, and we'll have more on that as we ramp up. But there's a new games launcher as well. They've got some new options for recording gameplay, which will be really interesting to see how gamers take to that.
And that, it was just kind of a out of left field thing that they just said, oh yeah, there's all this gaming support where if you launch a game through this gaming launcher, we'll turn off your notifications and we'll make sure the performance is really great and things like that, which, hey, that's totally fine. I'm just not sure if that's something that, especially on the smaller GS7, if people are going to, you know, make too much use of that.
So all in all, for me, I mean, these are some serious, really good phones. If you're not into Samsung phones, and Samsung phones haven't always been my favorite, the Note 5 really grew on me. I think you're going to want to take a serious look at it. So, Andrew, do you want to answer now or do you want to wait? Which one are you going for?
I'm heavily leaning towards the GS7.
Yeah,
I mean, not the Edge. If they would have just re-released the GS6 with all the same internals and just a larger battery, I would have been happy.
Fair enough.
They're talking about larger battery, a little bit better design, faster camera, faster internals, some new software features. I mean, if you're someone that was interested in the GS6 but just couldn't handle that battery life, it seems like that's going to be the right one, and that's where I'm leaning.
And again, we still have a lot of questions with this. At the time that we are recording this, we don't have price. There have been rumors of trade-in programs, so we'll have to see. Now, one other fun little thing that Samsung showed us, and we'll talk about this briefly, is the Gear 360. This is Samsung's little consumer-grade virtual reality recording system. It's a ball. It's about the size of a racquetball, and it has two cameras, right, on either side?
Yeah. And the interesting thing is it's positioned as a VR camera, but it doesn't require a VR headset to experience it. It's just it has 185-degree...
195, I think.
Well, it's just enough so that it overlaps. Well, you need 360, right? So I think it's 185, so it overlaps by 5 degrees. But anyway, so you get this full dome, not quite spherical, obviously, because it has to be mounted somewhere, but a full dome image or video. So just under 4K video or a 30 megapixel still. And you can view it just on the phone live or on your phone recorded. And you can also, as soon as you view it, you can pop it right into a Gear VR, and then you can look around and have a more immersive experience. But the interesting thing is that it'll record locally as well. So you don't have to have your GS7 nearby. You can set it down. It has time-lapse modes. It has all kinds of timers and things. So you can set it and get a video for, you know, leave it there for a half hour. I think it has a little over 2 hours of video recording capability. And then you can come back and sync that back later.
It's got a tripod mount. It comes with a little three-legged plastic tripod thing that sticks it up a couple inches, so you can just, you know, stick it on a table. It's going to be a lot of fun. The big question is, what's it going to cost? We don't know yet. They will announce that. By the time you're listening to this, we should know the price.
Right.
No
need to speculate too much.
Yeah, I'm going to guess like $199 is my guess.
I would not want it to be over $300.
No, absolutely not.
That if we saw it above that, it would just, the way it's being positioned as a consumer device, I don't see that happening.
But it
is going to be very interesting. They talked about the need for more content being leading into Gear VR. It can't all come from, you know, big producers and big names, it's going to have to be shooting it on your own as well if you want, you know, that experience to stick around. And this is a good way to do that.
You'll be able to upload to YouTube, Facebook. You know, we're not sure about what's Google's version. I just totally forgot.
Photosphere.
Photosphere. Thank you.
Yeah, I have a that's feeling that'll be, work. We'll see. That's going to be interesting because they did say you can upload to Google Street View and you can upload photospheres to Street View. So I would assume it would work just fine. But it is nice to see that they're playing nice with Facebook and YouTube because those are the two big places where you're seeing VR content. So you're going to be able to upload to YouTube and somebody can put on, you know, a Google Cardboard viewer with any other phone as well and view that 360 content.
That'll be fun. I can't wait to play with that. I think my kids are going to have a blast.
Absolutely.
A couple other little accessories. We're getting a not quite vertical, but angled, almost vertical wireless fast charging. So it is like the big puck they've had for a little while now. It just angles up and that's going to be really good. I like that. Andrew is madly in love with this telephoto lens case thing.
Yeah, I guess irrationally in love with this case after spending 5 minutes with it, but it's just a regular thin silicone case, but it just has a little spot over the camera where you can screw in new lenses. And the kit that I saw has a telephoto and like a super wide angle lens, not quite fisheye, but just really wide angle. And the minimum focus distance on the GS7 seems so short that you could get really nice up and, you know, and up close on things. And you can just unscrew the lenses and they pop off just like, like an Olo clip or something on the iPhones.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's a really cool idea to have Samsung promoting this. You know, they're talking about the camera being super good. And if you're going to do that, and you know how to make really good camera lenses already for your other, you know, prosumer and professional cameras, why not just offer, you know, these nice aluminum lenses with really nice optics in them? Now, who knows how much that's going to cost, but I think it's a really cool idea.
Makes total sense. So that is a quick look from our initial impressions of the new Galaxy S7, the GS7 Edge, and the Gear 360. We are going to have a lot more coming at you live from Mobile World Congress. Stay tuned. AndroidCentral.com/MWC will take you to all the news. It's going to be a little insane. It's going to be a little overwhelming. And we will absolutely have another podcast coming at you this week with the whole group. I'm over there. Andrew's over there. Alex is over there. Richard, Mark Wim, we've got the whole team. It's going to be a lot of fun. Derek Kessler, we got so much going on. And so we will have more thoughts on the Galaxy S7, plus all the other phones and tablets and whatever else comes our way at Mobile World Congress. Andrew, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm ready to get down for more podcasts on the GS7.
All right, we'll see y'all later.
Bye.